Hi there, and welcome to the Natural Beauty Podcast. In this podcast, we explore everything related to natural beauty. With guests from the heart of the natural cosmetics industry, we engage in important discussions about the state of the sector. Together, we share insights and exclusive behind-the-scenes stories. I am Satu Mäkinen, founder of the European Natural Beauty Awards, and I will be your host as we dive into these topics. Make sure you click the subscribe or follow button so you won't miss the coming episodes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Natural Beauty Podcast. Today, I'll be speaking with Vincent Gallon, founder and managing editor of Premium Beauty Media. Based in Paris, France, the media reports on cosmetics industry worldwide. Vincent Gallon has a long-standing experience in the cosmetics industry. In 2008, he co-founded premiumbeautynews.com, and in 2009, the trade show Makeup in Paris. Additionally, BrazilBeautyNews.com was launched in May 2014 to pay tribute to the strong development of the Brazilian personal care market. Both websites, PremiumBeautyNews.com and BrazilBeautyNews.com, have become a reference for the cosmetics industry around the world. In this podcast episode, Vincent Gallon shares his behind-the-scenes insights from the world of premium cosmetics, as well as how the sustainable and natural beauty scene is indeed growing as a trend worldwide. As the European Natural Beauty Awards 2025 will be hosted in Premium Beauty Media's home city, so in Paris, France, I'm very excited to dive into the discussions with Vincent. Before we continue with the episode, I'd like to share a couple of words about the sponsor of this episode. This episode is brought to you by Evonik Service Solutions, your trusted partner for crafting high-quality and safe natural cosmetic products. With decades of expertise in formulating skin and hair cosmetics, Evonik's experts possess deep insights into the beauty industry and the latest trends, ready to transform your cosmetic product idea into reality. Whether you are a startup or an established brand, Evonik collaborates with you to develop beauty products with elegant textures and sustainability ingredients, as well as regulatory compliance. Evonik's comprehensive process includes carefully selecting raw materials, designing formulations, and creating active ingredient concepts. They also handle prototype testing for stability, claims, and safety, support technology transfer from lab to production, and manage registration, regulatory issues, and sustainability considerations. Evonik's mission is to assist you in scaling your business by turning your idea into a cosmetic product that meets your needs and exceeds your expectations. Evonik Service Solutions will bring your cosmetic product idea to life. Next, let's jump to today's episode. Welcome to the Natural Beauty Podcast, Vincent. Or Vincent, which pronunciation you prefer.
Hello, you can say Vincent, that's perfect for me. Hello, Satu, nice to meet you.
Amazing that you could make it to join to the studio today. Perhaps we could start first a little bit about yourself, if you would like to share what is your background and who you are basically, so who we have in the studio today.
Well, I can say that I've been working in the beauty industry for almost 25 years now. I think the main reason is probably because this industry is very strong in France, you know, and therefore it offers a lot of career opportunities. Well, I started in the French Trade Association. Then I worked also for trade show organizers such as Cosmoprof. Mm. You know them. And it's one of the biggest trade shows in Italy, and they also have branches in other countries around the world. I created Premium Beauty News in 2008 as one of the first 100% digital trade media in the beauty industry. Now we have three editions, one in French, one in English, and the last one in Portuguese, under the name Brazil Beauty News.
Mm, yeah, there's a lot of things happening with you. What about then initially, what inspired you to go to the beauty industry in general or cosmetics industry? What was the spark?
I think it's just a question of hazard. It was a work opportunity. I was highly interested in the industry in general. In France, the personal care and cosmetics industry, I had not personal interest in this industry, but it grew with the experience.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, France is known for the beauty and the cosmetics and big brands since, you know, 100 years. So makes sense that that is a big career opportunity as well.
Maybe I can add that something that is very interesting also about the beauty industry is that, you know, it's something that I discovered working in this industry with time is that it is at the crossroads of science and humanities. The products are based on science, but the way and the reason people use them has much to do with social relations, personal lifestyles, and also with individual mindsets. That is why their use and the brands people prefer are very, very, very different from one country to another.
Mm.
And this is also probably why there are so many innovations and new products in this market.
Mm, that's an interesting point, that it's really the social aspect why we use beauty products. This is a beautiful way to put it as well.
Preferences are very different in Northern Europe than in the South of Europe, for instance. Between the US or Japan or Europe, of course. It's very interesting to see that.
Mm. And this is something you have incorporated a lot also on your Premium Beauty News websites. I mean, you have different versions of it as well. Was it always like this from the beginning, or has this evolved over time?
When we launched the website, we decided to have it both in French and English. The main reason being that the industry is very international and many brands, luxury brands, I mean, are exporting at a global scale. And they need to know what are the preferences of consumers worldwide in different countries. And they need to have access to information regarding suppliers at a global scale too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also decided to create the Portuguese version to focus on Brazil, because it's a very specific market. Brazilian has a very, very, very high consumption of personal care and beauty products. They are probably the first market in volume for fragrance, the first or second after the US. It depends on the figures. And one of the first market for sun care, of course, and for a lot of different kind of products for hair care in particular.
Absolutely. And so if we talk a little bit about the beginning of Premium Beauty News, how did it come to be? Why did you start?
Probably because we identified that there was a need in the industry for more information on innovation. There are a lot of suppliers in this industry that are working hard to meet the demand of their customers, of brands. And brands need to renew and to launch new products very, very frequently. That really an industry that need to offer new products and innovative products and new services and new benefits to its customers at a very, very fast rhythm, mm-hmm. I would say. This interest for innovation, for science behind this innovation, and the fact that we identified that there is now an interest for most brands to source this innovation at a global scale, what's the origin and the driving force behind the creation of the website? And that's also why we decided from the beginning to visit trade shows around the world. I mean, not only in Europe, but also in Asia, in particular trade shows such as Cosmo for Asia in Hong Kong, China Beauty Expo in Shanghai, where there is a lot of new products, new players in packaging or ingredients also.
A lot to cover around the world, for sure, in the beauty industry, and especially it's expanding globally all the time. How do you choose the subject that you write about, or what would you like to cover? What do you like to cover the most?
Well, our main question is it new?
Mm.
Is it something innovative? Whether it is a finished product or a packaging solution or an ingredient or a trend, the question is it something new? Is it something that will improve the product and the way the industry is addressing the needs of its customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you have Premium Beauty News also in your names. Of course, it makes sense that everything that you publish about needs to be some sort of news as well. Do you see the differences between the markets then? I mean, you write about European, Brazilian, but also worldwide. Do you see differences in the innovations? And is it that very, very much linked to the local culture as well?
It's very much linked to local cultures, and there is a lot of differences between the market.
Mm.
If we consider, for instance, a finished product, if you look at a perfume, it's very, very rare to have a perfume that is a true global success. You can have a perfume that will be a hit in Europe, but not that much in the US, for instance. The contrary is true. A very successful perfume in the US may be difficult to sell in Europe or in the Middle East, for instance. And a few number of them succeed to sell very well everywhere, but it's very, very rare. Another thing interesting, for instance, is if you consider something that maybe is more interest for you, natural beauty and natural cosmetics.
Mm, absolutely.
The interest for natural beauty and for sustainability in general is much stronger in Europe than it is in the US, for instance, or in Asia.
Mm, that's interesting to know.
Things are changing. And the interest is also growing in the US and in some parts of Asia. But I would say that in this matter, Europe is at the forefront.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're organizing the European Natural Beauty Awards as well. So following very closely, of course, what the European Union, of course, is doing with the legislation. And there are a lot of different parts to this. Currently very, very timely. But if we talk a little bit more then about the natural beauty, since we're also a natural beauty podcast, how have you seen the change in this or the growth of the natural industry? Because, I mean, you've been doing this for quite a long time. So how have you seen the growth of it?
Well, I would say that it used to be a niche phenomenon. Natural products were niche products. They were sold in specific retails. They had their specific retail channels. They used to be of interest only for a small part of the consumer base. But this has changed a lot. I would say that the natural trend is now a key trend of the market, and most brands, including mass market brands, are now doing their best to transition to more botanical and natural ingredients in their products and to find more sustainable packaging solution to protect their products. That's really something that has changed. And now you have only a few players that can say, no, I don't care. They never say that. You can say they don't care when you see their products, of course. But that's something that is very important now for the industry. And when you see what happened with The Body Shop, for instance, the collapse of this retail channel, this brand, which used to be a pioneer of the natural and ethical cosmetic industry. What does that mean? It means that now it's not enough to be ethical. You need to be ethical, you need to be green, you need to offer natural products, you need to think of the reduction of packaging, to innovate, to find new ways to be sustainable and to be ethical. I think that most brands now understand that they need to provide more natural products.
Mm.
Probably the ISO 16128 standard has played a key role in that phenomenon, because it has given the entire industry globally a reference of what does it mean to be natural.
We were just talking about this in another podcast with the certification representative, that, you know, the ISO, it doesn't judge, it has clear facts, how many percentage you have and everything. So it's a very good base to see the naturality percentage and all that. Of course, it doesn't go into if the ingredients were produced sustainably or ethically and these kind of things, but it's a good base to to have an overall system also globally.
No, that's true. The ISO standard is not perfect, but it's the first brick for those who want to start something more natural.
Yeah.
For instance, when I started in this industry, a lot of brands were claiming to be natural, but when you had a look at their ingredient list, okay, maybe they had a fraction of botanical ingredient in the formulation, but it was only a tiny fraction.
Mm.
Now, with this standard, you cannot claim to be natural if you don't have at least, I would say, 95% of your ingredients that are from natural origin.
Mm.
Of course, it depends on the products. And then you have all other certifications such as Netru, such as EcoCert, organic product. If you want to go further to take into consideration the way you source your products, the way your plants are grown and things like that, of course, it's always possible to go further and to do things better.
Mm, absolutely.
From
inside
to consumers in a transparent way. That's also an important transformation of the markets. Consumers really want transparency and will judge very, very hard. They will have very, very bad judgment on any greenwashing attempt.
Mm. People are very clever these days. They see through of different claims. Not everybody reads the ingredient list or knows how to read that either, but there's definitely a change in this lately.
Of course, in particular in countries where they have been exposed to beauty products for a long time, and they have a good knowledge now of this industry and these products.
Mm. Do you see this also among the readers, if there's more interest in these kind of subjects, or if the stories about these things do better, for example, on your site? Or,
well, today, when you visit trade shows and when you talk to suppliers and to brands, in particular in Europe, it's the main topic. I mean, how to be more sustainable, how to create circular packaging, how to decrease the footprint of on the environment. I would say that today, most of the innovation and most of the research work that is done in the industry is done in trying to improve the naturality and the environmental friendliness of products.
Mm, yeah.
And of course, that's something that we focus on Premium Beauty News.
Mm, absolutely. It's interesting to readers. So it makes sense that you write about it.
Nevertheless, I would say that despite of that, when you consider the evolution of the figures, it's very hard and a lot still have to be done. For instance, if you consider packaging waste, even if companies are doing their best to decrease it, it continues to grow. And even if recycling rates are improving, the quantity of waste is still growing. And we have a lot of work to do in this area.
Mm, absolutely. I don't think the work is done yet, but happy to see things are going to improve direction, at least in many ways. Perhaps you would have some news or innovations, something exciting that you've seen lately in the natural cosmetic sphere. What do you have, perhaps examples of innovative formulations or sustainable packaging solutions or sourcing practices or anything that you've seen lately, something interesting?
I would say that the most fascinating thing happening right now is the transformation of packaging.
Mm.
It has been a big problem for the cosmetics industry because it relied so much on plastic.
Mm.
I think that now there is a lot of work that is done to find alternative to plastics. It's only the very beginning, and we are far from having solution for everything. I discussed with suppliers of paper products, for instance. They are working hard to find solution in the paper industry to create packaging that would be sourced from sustainably managed forest, in particular from Scandinavia, where there is a lot of trees that are grown sustainably and that are managed to supply the paper industry. They are looking for solutions from trees that could help to create alternative to plastics, that will help to create new ingredients for cosmetic formulations. And there is a lot of research that is done, and this is really fascinating. I think that within 10 years, most of the packaging will have transitioned to organic solutions, to botanically based solution, and have removed oil from their composition.
Yeah, that's a nice prediction to be said. I'm personally from Finland, and we do have a lot of that forest, and I keep following quite closely all the innovations that people are building there.
Yes, in Finland there is a lot of startups that are trying to create new stuff, new packaging, and new ingredients from what is sourced from trees.
Mm, absolutely. So it's very fascinating to keep following, and I'm sure we're not far to find something very, very interesting for the industry as well, I think.
Yes, and you have big companies such as let's say L'Oréal, for instance, that are really committed now to transition to this kind of product. They have a lot of work to do, and of course, and I think that that's a good thing. So a lot of startups, a lot of small brands that are innovating from scratch, that are offering new products and new solutions that are challenging these giant players, and that's a very good thing. That's an industry that is really, really, really always changing.
There's a change of power structure in that sense, I suppose, as well, that there are a lot of smaller players that they can pivot very fast and innovate what is needed every now and then. But it's beautiful to see that also the giants, they are changing. They have to change in a certain way compared to what we've done before. But
of course, it can be more difficult for them because, well, you have to change a lot of way you are usually thinking. You have to transform your mind and the way your company is structured. But they are trying.
Mm, absolutely. And you know that the industry is changing when the giants are changing as well, for sure. So that is beautiful to see. What do you think, as a media, you also have certain kind of role in educating people? I don't know if your readers are more from the industry or they're also hobbyists or others who are maybe interested in the industry in general. How do you think your role is in educating, for example, about greenwashing or other topics?
Well, I would say that even people in the industry need information, and sometimes they find it difficult to know what is the best solution for them if they want to create more sustainable products. Because you can change one parameter and have the feeling that it will improve your products, but that's only one small part of the entire life cycle of the product. And what can be a good idea can turn as something that is not good for the global sustainability of a product. So it's important to have a broad vision of the industry, to take into account the entire life cycle of a product, and when you are changing your packaging, to consider where your product will be sold, because you need to know if there is a recycling scheme for this kind of packaging in the country where your product are sold. Is there any possibility for this kind of innovative material to be integrated in a recycling program? What will happen to your products at the end of life? All those considerations have to be taken into account, and you have to have a broad vision of the entire industry to understand that. And it's something that is very difficult, even for brands and for product creators.
Mm. And you do have that knowledge because you're doing very global work, so you can also see, for example, about the recycling systems across the globe, like what it is very different in different places. So things like that also need to be taken into consideration when you do things. Absolutely. What are your personal predictions for the future, if we think about the cosmetics industry or perhaps natural beauty industry as well, separately? I think we have a little bell going on from your nearby church. How charming. I used to live in, you're in France, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to live in France at some point as well. And that is very, feels homey in a way. It's midday time, so it's, you know, giving its all. Absolutely. But yeah, what would be your predictions for the future? I mean, you've been following for quite a long time of the industry. So.
Prediction, yes. Mm. That's the hardest part of the interview. How can you see the future? Well, I don't have any crystal ball, but I would say that, of course, natural products, circular packaging, and sustainable products for sure will be the future of the industry, because I cannot imagine that people will continue to buy products if they have the feeling that they are doing something wrong for the planet, something wrong for themselves, for their children, and for their health, and for the environment. So there is now very strong pressure on the industry to change, and there is a lot of work. Regulations are changing. The European Union is passing laws that will compel packaging producers to offer only recyclable products, recyclable packaging solution. And there will be also a lot of new regulations regarding the biodegradability of cosmetic formulations. And of course, in that sense, being natural, having natural ingredients in your products is a huge advantage. If you have only synthetic ingredients, of course, it's more difficult to create biodegradable solutions. So the future for sure is in natural formulations, natural solutions for the products and for the ingredients, and a circular and non-oil based solution for packaging.
There has been also the talk in the European Union about the claims. How is it possible to use the words in the packaging as well, like you mentioned a bit earlier about the claims as well, which is also nice that these kind of things will be regulated, so it is more fair for the ones that are really trying to push the change, I think, personally.
It is important that claims are regulated, not only for the consumer. Of course, the consumers need to have a clear information and transparent information and not be fooled by the brands. But also for brands, it's important to evolve in a fair, competitive environment without people claiming things that are not true. Because it's very difficult to offer sustainable products and to decrease your environmental footprint. So if claims are regulated, it should be makes the work easier for everybody.
Mm, absolutely. Well, I would have one question, since you're representing media here, question that I also get a lot quite often. Would you have some advice for somebody, whether it's a brand representative or somebody, that how we would be the best to contact media or to get their innovative stories, for example, forward as a media's perspective? What would be your advice?
Well, the usual advice is to have information to share before contacting the media. Mm. And to focus on clear and original information. We usually say that you cannot catch any interest from the media when you do not have real news. Of course, it is very, very, very important because most of journalists are overwhelmed with press releases and calls.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to stand out from the mass, I would say that a long-term relationship is very important.
Mm.
In particular, as a B2B media, it's easier for us to have a close relation with key market players because we can meet them personally during trade shows and engage in long-term relationships with them. But having a long-term relationship with the media, it's very important. You need to know your customers, but you also need to know the media your customers are referring to.
Absolutely. And for example, you are premium. You're called premium beauty media. So is it only premium products that you're focusing on, or are there also others?
Well, we are mainly focusing on premium products because that is where most of the innovation is emerging. But of course, we also have a close look to mass products when they offer interesting solutions. And of course, it is important for if we want the industry to change, that it changes in all the retail channels, from the selective and prestige channels to the mass channels. So we have a look to everything.
And premium as a word has often been thought as when the price point is higher, but of course it could be also thought perhaps differently, that premium is something selective or innovative or something very special perhaps as well.
Well, of course, if you consider a prestige beauty product or luxury beauty products, of course the price is higher, but it is also in this category that it is possible to pay a higher price to suppliers of innovative products. If you want sustainable industry to take off in Europe, this product category can really be a driver for this industry, because they can pay higher for more sustainable products. Difficult thing for them is to be able to transition to sustainable solutions that have the look and the feeling of luxury solutions.
We've often asked in this podcast, what is luxury? And that is also, you know, how it's defined, of course, as well.
That's something that was very, very difficult at the beginning for luxury brand to address, how to be to remain luxury, but to take into consideration their environmental footprint. But I think that's something now that is fully understood by these brands. We were talking about packaging solution for an innovative solution, for instance, from Finland. And if you consider a brand such as Chanel, for instance, which is a kind of epitome of the luxury beauty brand, they have transitioned from packaging solution that were initially based on oil, plastic, to increase the percentage of solution from wood cellulose, for instance. And now many of the caps of their fragrances and of their skin creams, for instance, are no longer derived from oil, but from cellulose products sourced from Finland.
A lot of different kinds of changes.
And it's very difficult for you to see the difference.
So there you can kind of see that the image was kept, but the solutions were more environmentally friendly. And
Exactly.
Future, perhaps overall, since we were talking a little bit about the premium beauty media and the kind of perhaps products that can suit it really well. I know we do have a lot of brands listening to the podcast. If somebody would be interested in, for example, advertising with you, what would be the best way to go about it? How can they contact you, for example?
The best way is to send an email or to phone us, and it will be a pleasure for us to provide all the details regarding advertising solutions and regarding how to send press materials to have editorial content on the website. Okay. Us in English, in French, in Italian, in Spanish, or in Portuguese. That's okay.
Would Finnish go?
Finnish would be more difficult, but we'd try to figure it out with Google.
Yeah, I know. It's a tricky language, so we can keep it into English, for example. Perfect. We will link all the handles below in the show notes, so whoever is interested in reading in different your different sites, for example, can click directly from there, as well as find your contact information and everything. And you're also in social media elsewhere.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, Instagram and things. Perfect. Yeah, I don't know if you would have some final words about natural beauty or to our natural beauty listeners, about the industry perhaps, or your personal tip.
Well, I'm looking forward to visit the natural beauty trade show, because I think that we really need to find new innovation avenues in this segment, and I'm sure that there is a lot to see from Nordic brands, and there's an area in which they have a really a tradition of being innovative, and sure it will be a very, very interesting event.
Absolutely. Oh, and I wanted to also ask your opinion about, since you've been following the industry for a very long time, what kind of role do you think different awards play in the industry?
Well, they have, of course, a role in highlighting and the innovative solution. It's always difficult, in particular, when you are a small brand, a startup. Sometimes you are working a lot to find different solutions, to find new suppliers, to challenge your suppliers, to offer your different products, and to innovate. And well, it's always important to have the spotlight on your products when you have achieved a real innovation and something really, really, really different.
Mm. Do you follow different awards? What's coming up? New brands, perhaps, or innovations? And
yes, of course, in packaging, in ingredients, of course, and I would say that there is a lack of independent awards in regarding finished products.
Mm.
And that's something very interesting, to have a trade show where you have products from different countries and different origins that are presented, that are showcased simultaneously, and where you can have a look to what is done in this industry.
Mm, absolutely. You kind of described our awards or how we've built everything. Is that it's as independent as possible, because the cosmetics industry can be quite small in many ways, so that there wouldn't be any connections to power players in a way that it can be fair for everybody. So that is quite a point to try to balance within the industry, I think.
Yes.
Mm, absolutely. Well, I'm not going to take all your day, but I would really like to thank you for your time that you took today, and for all your insights from the industry, and really happy to start collaboration with Premium Beauty News as well, with the European Natural Beauty Awards.
Well, thanks a lot for this opportunity, Satu, and I was very, very happy to have this chance to share my views and opinions, and to talk about how this industry is really transforming, and how it is important for all of us to focus more on sustainability and natural products.
Mm, absolutely. Thank you so much, and we will see you very soon.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Natural Beauty Podcast. Make sure you have subscribed or you follow the podcast so you won't miss the coming episodes. If you know someone who would love to know more about the subjects that we discuss in this podcast, make sure to share this episode. Join the conversation on our social media channels as well, on Instagram and LinkedIn, at European Natural Beauty Awards. Until the next episode, bye-bye!